Psalm 46, just the first verse of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a help in distresses, very readily found. Then in Isaiah, which is a little bit later on, chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14. Therefore, hear the word of Jehovah, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. For ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol have we made an agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come upon us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I lay for foundation in Zion a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that trusteth shall not make haste. And then lastly, in the New Testament, towards the end of the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Towards the end of chapter 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, intervened by an oath, that by two unchangeable things, in which it was impossible that God should lie, we might have a strong encouragement, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us, which we have as anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, and entering into that within the veil, where Jesus is entered as forerunner for us, become forever a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. I'm sorry if some of the scriptures I've read might seem a little bit difficult to understand, but I think the message I have tonight is straightforward. I want to tell you about a place of refuge. I think we've been shocked by the atrocities going on in Israel that started a couple of weeks ago, but something we heard about was safe rooms. People went to try and hide in safe rooms. People have safe rooms in this country too. I'm told there are rich people that have got houses with safe rooms in, and if there's danger, they go and shut themselves in a safe room. And as we perhaps saw on the news, people in Israel tried to hide themselves in safe rooms. Some were protected, but some weren't. Some weren't safe, even though it was a safe room. Sadly, many families lost their lives. And I was thinking about that, and that's why I've read these scriptures, because when the Bible speaks about refuge, it isn't in a place, but it's in a person. You can see that from the first psalm I read. God is our refuge. It doesn't say that heaven is our refuge, or church is our refuge, or other believers are our refuge. God is our refuge. And as I looked at the Bible, it struck me how almost invariably it spoke about refuge being in a person. Not in a place, but in a person. God is our refuge. I remember just before lockdown, I work in Liverpool, and I've got an opportunity to have a tour of one of the Liverpool tunnels, the Kingsway Tunnel, which was one of the first tunnels, I think, built under a river. And they took us down to the tunnel, and they were saying, obviously, it was built more than 100 years ago, but more recently, after there was a very disastrous fire in a long tunnel in Switzerland, tunnels had to have refuges built. And there is all along the tunnel, there are these places of refuge where drivers, if something should happen, they can get out of their cars and get into a place of refuge. But as I say, I've come not to tell you about a place of refuge, but a person where you can find refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a help in distresses, very, very readily found. So there's two things I'd like you to take away from this scripture, that God is a help in distresses and that he's very readily found. You know, sometimes we can't find a place of refuge. I suppose that's what the word refugee means. We hear that there's a refugee crisis. There are people looking for a place of refuge and they can't always find it. From looking through the Psalms, I don't know Hebrew. I think there are one or two people here that might know some Hebrew, but there seem to be three different meanings to the word refuge. They all have a fairly similar sense. One of the meanings is a place of escape. And another meaning is a high fortress or a high tower. You know, I live in Chester, not far from the Welsh border. There are lots of castles in Wales, and they're high up, aren't they? Generally, a castle is built on a high place, a place of refuge. And then the other sense is a place of shelter. Often the psalmist speaks about finding refuge under the shadow of your wings. And we can understand that too, a place of shelter. So there are different things, different senses, but they all give us that sense of protection and safety in refuge. And God is our refuge, and he's very readily found. That's the first thing I'd like you to take away, that God why is it that God is very readily found? You might think, I've never seen God. I don't know where to find God. I can't see him. He's a spirit. I can't touch him. Why is it that God is very readily found? He's very readily found because he has come to find us. And he's come to find us through the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, didn't he, that he'd come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to reveal the Father. That was God. God was his Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father, to make him known to us and make us realise that God isn't distant and far off, but God has come close to us that he might be very readily found. That we find out that God isn't distant, but he's someone that loves us. He's loved us enough to send his Son into the world. That well-known scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him might not perish but have life eternal. God loves us. God is very readily found, and he's a help in distresses. God's a help at any time, but it's generally when we're in distress that we look for help, isn't it? When things are going well, we're often quite happy to get on with our lives. But when things go wrong, we often look round for help. And, you know, if you're not in a time of trouble, my friend, then without being flippant about it, you're probably about to come into a time of trouble. Our lives are full of trouble. Was it Job that spoke about our lives being full of trouble as the sparks fly up? I don't know, but from my life, I know that life can be full of trouble. It can be full of distresses. But a scripture was quoted this afternoon, wasn't it? That grief, according to God, brings repentance. And God allows distresses to come into our lives that we might find him and find him as a refuge. So in Isaiah, you might wonder about this scripture in Isaiah, but very simply, Isaiah was speaking. He was a prophet that lived in the, and he was speaking to those that lived in the kingdom of Judah, and he was saying to them that you've made your refuge in lies. That's a striking thing, isn't it? For ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol have we made an agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, that is, when trouble comes upon us, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Sadly, we live in a world that's full of lies and full of falsehood. There are people, there are systems of things that will tell you that you're going to be all right. As Isaiah said to this, the people of Judah, he was saying to them, you know, if you look around, you may remember that the kingdom of Israel was divided, and there was the northern kingdom, which was Israel, and then there was the southern kingdom, which was Judah. And the northern kingdom by this time had already gone into captivity. The people had disobeyed God, and the Assyrians had come and they'd taken the people away, they'd conquered and pillaged and all the rest of it. And Judah was disregarding this. Judah was carrying on just as Israel had. And it wasn't Assyria that was going to come for them. It was the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. And Isaiah was warning them. He says, look around and see what's happened to Israel. You know, repent, otherwise things will come upon you. And the people were hiding behind lies and behind falsehood. They just didn't want to believe that trouble was coming. But my friend, trouble is coming upon this world. We know that a time will come when judgment will come upon this world. The gospel is preached that we might be delivered out of that we might have a place of refuge. So although these people had made lies their refuge, and they'd hid themselves under falsehood, what does God say? Therefore thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I lay for foundation in Zion a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that trusteth shall not make haste, or he that trusteth shall not hasten with fear. Think of what God is saying. He's laid a foundation. He's speaking about the Lord Jesus when he speaks about this cornerstone. You can look at Psalm 118, and it tells us there that there's a cornerstone that God has laid. And I love what it says here. It says, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. You know, something we say, isn't it? Have you tried it? Have you tried it? We like to, well, speaking for myself and probably for you, if we're going to buy something, we like to read reviews, don't we? And what's a review? A review is by someone that's tried it. They've either bought the garment you're interested in and they've tried it, and they tell you whether it's a good fit or a bad fit, whether it's good value for money or bad value for money. If you stayed in a hotel or gone on holiday somewhere, you can read a review. Someone's tried it. Well, this is perhaps a bit different, but this is a tried stone. You know, it's a stone that has been tried. Tried by God. And it's been proved to be a sure foundation. Things of this world are passing. What God has established will stand both for time and for eternity. And the Lord Jesus is this stone, this tried stone, this precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. We need foundations, don't we? We live in a world where everything is changing. But for the believer, for the Christian, we find that the scripture doesn't change. God says, I change not. He's a God that doesn't change. I am the same. Yesterday, today, and for the ages to come. God doesn't change. The thing that God establishes don't change. We have a sure foundation. And if we trust on that salvation, on that foundation, we shall not hasten with fear. God was saying, trouble is coming. We might be fearful. We might be fearful about the things that we see around us in the world. And it's not that once we believe, we don't have problems and troubles. It's not that when we believe, everything is fine. It's not that when we believe, you know, some people preach what's called a prosperity gospel. If you believe in Jesus, you'll be healthy, you'll be wealthy, and probably wise as well. I don't know. But that's not what the Bible says. You know, the Bible doesn't promise us health or wealth or wisdom. But it does promise us a hope in the Lord Jesus, a hope that's sure and certain. And the joy for the Christian, I was thinking about this, is not that we're delivered out of troubles, but we have someone who is with us through those troubles. You know, the Lord Jesus is with us every step of our way once we have our faith and our trust in him. He is a sure foundation. He that trusteth shall not hasten in fear. I wish I could speak with more experience of these things. You know, I do often fear, even though I shouldn't fear, because my faith and my trust is in the Lord Jesus. But I can tell you that some troubles have come upon me, and I can assure you that Jesus has been with me through those troubles. And I'm sure if you asked all the other believers in this hall here tonight, they would say the same thing, that the Lord Jesus is a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that trusteth shall not make haste. And then I read in Hebrews, because Hebrews, this is the only reference to refuge in the New Testament. Plenty of references in the Old Testament. That's not why I read it. I read it because I love the scripture here that speaks that we might have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. It's a place of refuge. And we can have strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. And again, what this scripture is saying is that God has promised. God has given us a double certainty of things. He's promised and he's intervened by an oath. Two unchangeable things. God's word is sure. God has promised. And there's a hope set before us. And that hope, again, isn't a place. It's in a person. It speaks of Jesus, who has entered as forerunner for us, meaning that Jesus has gone on before. Jesus is the theme of the gospel, as I've said. He's the one that's loved us enough to die for us. He's the one that's gone to Calvary. He's gone into the grave. As we read this afternoon, he's come out of the grave. He's risen from among the dead, and he's ascended into heaven where he is now. He's entered as forerunner for us. But because he has gone that way, those who have fled for refuge to lay hold on that hope have the assurance that Jesus has gone before. He's there for us. I think when the writer here was speaking about fleeing for refuge, you may know that when the children of Israel went through the wilderness into the promised land, as it was for them, there were so-called cities of refuge. There were six cities that were cities of refuge. Mm. And those that were guilty, well, those that were potentially guilty of death could flee to a city of refuge. And you may remember that the land had the River Jordan that are running down the middle of it. And there were three cities on the east and three cities on the west. And they were clearly marked and clearly known so that those that needed to could flee for refuge to those cities. And if they weren't, well, there was an opportunity for them to live. And I think the writer here is thinking about that because he's writing to Hebrews. He's writing to those that knew about these things from the past. And he's saying, I'm not telling you now about a place of refuge, but I'm telling you about a person. Someone that's gone on before. Someone who is our forerunner. Someone, as it says, who we have as anchor of the soul, both secure and firm. Anchor of the soul. Where is your soul anchored? Have you thought about your soul? Perhaps you think about your body. You worry about, you know, when we get up in the morning, we wash and we have breakfast and we look after our bodies. But what about your soul? How often do you think about your soul? The Bible tells me that we have a never dying soul. And in a sense, whatever we do with our bodies, and we should look after our bodies, what about our soul? Because where will your soul spend eternity? Do you have an anchor for your soul, both secure and firm, within the veil? That's where Jesus is, and that's what he's saying. He says, if your faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus, it's like you're a ship, but your anchor's secure in the Lord Jesus. So we know that if a ship's anchor is secure, then that ship is safe. It's when the anchor drags, the ship can come into peril. But when that ship is safely anchored, it's safe. And if our anchor is both secure and firm where Jesus is, then we can have the peace and joy of knowing that our sins are forgiven. But what does the scripture say? Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture that one of my favourite scriptures, if we're allowed to have favourite scriptures, is if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's Romans 10. Now that scripture is a great comfort to me. And I hope it's a comfort to each one of us here, because you can say to yourself, have I confessed with my mouth Jesus as Lord? Have I believed in my heart that God has raised him from among the dead? If you can say yes, the scripture says thou shalt be saved. No doubt about it at all. The gospel is preached that we might have certainty about these things. God doesn't want us to doubt. He doesn't want us to be misled by falsehood and lies, as we saw from Isaiah. But God wants us to be sure too that if our faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus, then we can have the peace of knowing that our sins are forgiven for time and for eternity. And as the writer here says, anchor of the soul, both secure and firm. And I'd like everyone here tonight to leave us knowing that their sins are forgiven, that their soul is secure with the Lord Jesus, secure and firm. How wonderful that we might have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge. Those that fled were those that knew that they were guilty and they needed a place of refuge. And they went to the cities of refuge. There aren't cities of refuge today, but the Lord Jesus is available to us. God is available to us through him. God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength. A help in distresses very readily found. I hope in the few words that I've said this evening that you realise that God is very readily found through the Lord Jesus. Jesus has come here to save us, to bless us. You know, if you believe, you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful thing. You have the Lord Jesus as high priest interceding for you in heaven. You're given the Holy Spirit, as the Lord Jesus said, another comforter of the same kind to be with you and me here on earth. So that as we live our Christian lives, we might have the help that we need to know the promises that God has made are real for us. Well, may we have our faith and trust in him for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.